Welcome to the Growing Vegetables Down Under podcast. I'm your host, Diana. I want to show you how it's possible to have your very own vegetable garden at home, even if you are working and a busy mum like I am. Join me as I show you how you can have a simple, satisfying, and sustainable vegetable garden. But before we get started, please hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Apple and love what you hear, I would really, really appreciate it if you left me a 5-star review and comment. So let's dive into today's topic. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about green manure. So hello, gardeners, and welcome back to the podcast. Sorry that I have had a little hiatus recently, but it was just a combination of things. You know, the family was sick, that we all got sick one after the other, and then we all got sick again. Then we had a nice little holiday, and then I got sick again, and I completely lost my voice. So that's not really conducive to doing a podcast. But I'm back now, and I'm hoping to release these podcasts every Sunday night. Now let's jump into what we are talking about today, which, as I said, is green manure. So what is green manure? It is a crop that you grow in your vegetable garden with the sole purpose of digging it back into the soil. So it's not a crop you're going to eat. It's a crop you're going to use to fertilize the soil. And there are a number of really big benefits in doing a green manure crop. And this is, for example, to improve the soil structure. You can increase the water retention of the soil. The soil has the ability to increase the nutrient content of it and draw minerals up to the plants. It has the added bonus of reducing weeds and keeping the soil healthy when it might have otherwise been a bare plot because you've chosen not to plant this season. Of course, green manure is also just aesthetically pleasing, because if the choice is between having an empty garden bed and a garden bed with a nice layer of green crops growing in it, then of course the green crop bed is going to look nicer. So there is that aesthetically pleasing element to a green manure crop as well. And the last two things, of course, that green manure does is it actually improves drainage. And it encourages the microorganisms in your soil to thrive. And if you've been following me recently on the social media platforms, I've just done a couple of posts about soil health and the essentials for healthy soil. And one of those includes microorganisms. And I talked about how these little guys are essential for having a great ecosystem in your soil. So just digging down into a couple of those things, because I know when I first learned about green manure, I wasn't really sure about how digging a whole bunch of green plants into the soil actually did all those things. So I'll just flesh out a couple of them for you. But for example, when we're talking about how green manure improves soil structure, the roots of the crops that you grow and the microorganisms that are in the soil create structure in your soil by actually drawing all the particles of soil together. And that's what gives soil its sort of crumbly texture. You know, it's got all those little particles together. So you've got the roots of the crops and the microorganisms, and they're drawing all those particles together to give soil that crumbly look that you see. And when this happens, it has the effect of aerating the soil, because when those particles are drawn together, it creates little air pockets in your soil. And again, if you've been watching me or following me on social media, you will have seen that I talked about how air in the soil is important, because our plants need air not only above the soil, but below it. So that's how green manure improves those soil structure, because it's the roots of the plants that you're growing. Now, drainage is also something that is improved in this way with the root systems of plants. And that's because the root systems grow into the soil and they loosen it up which helps increase drainage, and they create channels with their roots that you're later pulling out. And of course, the earthworms come through as well and move around in that soil and create passages, which again improves drainage. I know it's kind of counterintuitive to be following improved drainage with improved water retention, but believe it or not, that is actually also one of the benefits of green manure. The difference between drainage and water retention is drainage, or poor drainage, is when your soil is going to be soggy, whereas moisture retention is going to be when your soil is moist. So you don't want soggy soil, you want good drainage, but you don't want dry soil. You want water to be retained in the soil so that your plants can access it later. Because if you're just watering your garden and the water is running off or running down and through, then your plants are going to have a quick drink, but there's not going to be anything for later. So that's why water retention in your soil is good. And one of the things I often talk about that I love for it is coconut core. Because coconut core, which is the husk of coconuts, does a lot of the things that green manure does. And one of them is it improves water retention, and that's because the coconut core actually soaks up water and then the plants can absorb it later. It's sort of nature's water crystals. So water retention occurs because the soil structure of the soil has been improved, and because the green manure is being dug back in, then the increased organic matter in the soil, in the same way that coconut core is an organic matter, that the presence of organic matter therefore increases the ability of the soil to retain water. We talked about microorganisms. Now, one of the key things microorganisms do is that they turn nutrients in the soil into a form that a plant can actually absorb through its roots. So even if you've got great soil, if you don't have microorganisms, your plants are not going to be able to get all the nutrients that they need, because they need the presence of those organisms, which are often bacteria, to convert the minerals into nutrients, or the nutrients into minerals. I'm not quite sure. I'm going to have to remember my biology from year 12. Can't remember which way round it is. Doesn't matter. The point is, you need your microorganisms in the soil. And at the end of the day, if you've ticked all the other boxes for healthy soil, your microorganisms are going to be there, which is great. So doing this green manure crop, again, is going to encourage the roots of plants to leave behind these residues in the soil, which is what's going to encourage those microorganisms to thrive. The last thing I'll just touch on is reducing weeds. So this kind of comes into the what I was talking about, the aesthetically pleasing aspects of green manure. You don't want a bare garden bed in your backyard. There's no point. When your garden bed is bare, your microorganisms who are living on the top of the soil are going to be dying off because they're drying out. You don't want that. You don't want weeds because, you know, what's that saying that a weed seeds and you'll be weeding for 7 years or something like that? There is an old saying about that. So you don't want to be leaving a bare garden bed. And so by putting in a green manure crop, you're going to shade out the weeds, which will prevent them from thriving. Therefore, they will die and not go to flower. And you're going to be having a good looking vegetable garden that, even though those crops aren't edible, it's still going to look great. And the microorganisms in the soil are going to be thriving. So those are just a couple of reasons why you might consider doing a green manure crop. I like to do a green manure crop around the end of winter, or the last month of winter, and heading into spring. And that is because I'm getting to that time of year where I've eaten a lot of my winter crops, and so my garden bed is looking a bit bare, or perhaps the crops in that bed didn't thrive particularly, and so I have a bit of concerns about the soil actually being that nutritious. And the last thing, which is the situation I find myself in now, is when you've oversowed something and you just can't face eating any more. And this is me and Tatsoy at the moment. I bought a microgreen mix of tatsoi, and it was tatsoi and kale. And we all know I love kale. There's no problem there. But with the tatsoi, it was meant to be microgreens. I'm not quite sure what happened, but one day there were microgreens. The next day, they were giant tatsoi. And it's been great. I've been eating a lot of stir fries. Tatsoi wilted with red capsicum and sesame oil and salt is delicious, but I have been eating it nonstop the last 2 months and I just don't want to eat it anymore. So that is the third example. And that, out of those two examples, it shows you the two ways that you can do a green manure crop. So we'll follow on for what's going happening in my garden bed, and I will do a video on this. So if you follow me on social media, look out for that video coming soon. So what I'm going to do with my tatsoi, there are a couple of tatsoi in that bed that are going to flower. I am letting them go to flower, not because I ever want to eat tatsoi again, because at the moment, the idea of it self-seeding for next year is just painful, but that's what's going to be happening. But because they have yellow flowers. Yellow flowers are fantastic in a vegetable garden because they attract aphids. Aphids are a pest. That's okay. The yellow flowers are attracting them away from the plants that I eat, which is the first reason that it's good to be attracting them towards the tatsoi plant. The second reason is that yellow flowers also attract ladybugs, and ladybugs are one of the best predators for aphids. So these yellow tatsoi flowers, they kind of look like broccoli flowers or bok choy flowers, you know, that long tall stalk with all the tiny little yellow flowers at the top. Those are attracting not only the pests, which might be irritating my other plants that I am eating, but also the predator for the aphids. So I am going to let a few of those tatsoi go to flower. The third reason is that it feeds the bees. Now, ordinarily, bees hibernate a bit over winter, and they're certainly a lot less active. But I've actually noticed a lot of bees around this winter, and that's because until the last couple of weeks, it hasn't really been that cold. But leaving the yellow flowers or the tatsoi flowers in my vegetable garden to go to flower is going to feed the bees over the next coming 6 weeks. So even if they don't come out until the end of August, the flowers will still be there because it's colder, so they take a while to mature. And it's going to give something for the bees to eat when they first come back out of their hive out of winter. So we do think it's important to leave a few of your plants in your bed going to flower. You can, of course, always choose to save those seeds. Seed saving is a new thing for me, and I really hope to get the awesome Ariana from Canberra Seed Savers onto the podcast to talk about saving seeds as things start to go to flower at the beginning of spring. So what I'm going to be doing in that patch, and it's about a meter by meter, and just picture this meter by meter, chock-a-block full of tatsoi. And every time I see to pull one out, it just grows again. The thing about tatsoi and bok choy, of course, is that you don't usually pull the roots out. You can just chop it off at the base and it regrows. And that's what I was doing. But it just got to the point where there was too much, so I started pulling it out by the roots. I'm going to go in and I am going to pull out all that tatsoi by the roots. And then I am going to dump it back on the soil for about a week to start breaking down. Once that tatsoi has started to wilt in about a week's or so time, I'm then going to dig it back into the soil. Now, this doesn't need to be perfect. It doesn't matter if you can still see bits of green, because over the coming weeks, you're going to keep turning it and digging it in, and it's going to break down, and the worms in the soil are going to eat it, and even the frosts that come through at this time of year will help it decompose. You can, of course, put a bit of mulch over the top as well if you'd like. There's really no rules, but I'm going to, like I said, just leave it on the top of the soil for about a week and then come back the following weekend and dig it back in. And over the next couple of weeks, every time I go out there, I'll just turn it back in a bit more to the soil. And that way, I'm really hoping that this garden bed will be ready for planting at the beginning of September, when I'm hoping to put in some of my root crops to have a spring root crop harvest. So this way of doing green manure is really only going to be appropriate for those people who have a garden bed with, I guess, probably leafy crops. You wouldn't ever really want to be doing green manure with something like tomatoes or corn, something with a stalk that's going to take a considerable period of time to break down. If you do it with crops like that, you're looking at doing it over a much longer period. So if you do have a garden bed with lettuces or potentially even broccoli and cabbages, as long as you pull out that center stalk and put that in your compost, then that is going to be the perfect patch to be digging all that green matter back into the soil for an awesome green manure veggie patch. But if you don't have that, if you've got a garden bed, for example, and you've just gone and harvested all your carrots and all your beetroots and it's now sitting empty, and you'd like to think about doing green manure in there, then this is how you would go about it. Green manure is a really good way of using up seeds from the past season that you probably shouldn't be storing for another year. For example, something like parsnip seeds, they don't store particularly well and they do lose their ability to germinate. So with green manure, you get all your old seeds, throw them into the garden, and we're thinking of doing a pretty decent thick layer here. You are wanting these green manure crops to be coming up kind of like the way microgreens do, you know, that really dense planting, a beautiful layer of lush green leaves. And after about 6 weeks, you'll be digging them in. So it doesn't matter that they're really crowded. So like I said, go back to your seed collection, get all your old seeds. It doesn't matter what they are. At this point, you can even do corn and tomato because you're going to be digging these crops in, like I said, at that 6 week age. So they're going to be no more than 5 centimeters tall and they're not going to be tough like a fully grown corn stalk would be. So put them all over the soil, cover it with a light layer of dirt and water it in. That layer of dirt, of course, is to prevent the birds from coming back and eating all your lovely seeds. Keep it well watered, or fortunately this winter we've had a lot of rain, which will help it along. And as the warmth of September comes through, in a couple of weeks' time, that green manure crop will just take off. And when it is about 5 centimeters tall, like I said, there's no hard or fast rule. Any green manure is going to be better than no green manure. You're going to come back and just start turning it in. You're not going to need to leave it on the top of the soil for a week like I do with the tatsoi, because we've got a much, much smaller quantity and we're talking about these beautiful, lush little shoots. So just dig those beautiful, lush little shoots back into the soil. And that is going to give you this great green manure crop. If you're wondering about how far down to dig the green manure, don't overthink it, but you can dig the soil as deep as you want it to be. Just whatever you feel comfortable with. For example, if you are going to be following this green manure crop with root vegetables, then when you are digging the green manure into the soil, this is a great time to be turning your soil over to that depth of at least 30 centimeters, because that is going to be making the soil lovely and loose for your root vegetables. But if you're going to be following this maybe with something like a pumpkin vine, then it's really not necessary to be digging it in that deep. There are no hard and fast rules. You cannot make any mistakes with green manure. So I really hope this has given you the courage to go and do a green manure crop in your garden. You really only need those few weeks between the seasons to get all those old seeds just to the shoots form before you're turning it back in. I'd love to see any photos that you might be posting on social media with your green manure crop. So don't forget to tag me. I am on Facebook at Growing Vegetables Down Under and on Instagram at Growing Vegetables Down Under. And I would love to hear from you. And I hope you all have a fantastic week. Happy gardening. Thank you so much for joining me today. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Growing Vegetables Down Under. On Facebook, we also have the Growing Vegetables Down Under community, which is a group where you can share your successes or possibly your failures and ask for help. I would love to see you in that group, and I am able to provide any advice you'd like on that platform. If you have any comments or suggestions about other topics you'd like me to cover, just leave them in the comments below or send me a DM. Looking forward to seeing you next time. Happy gardening!